Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Today my message is the last of the Matthew 13 series. It's not the last of Matthew. Matthew 14 goes right up to Matthew 28. So we'll pick up Matthew 14 to 28. Perhaps in the fall, we're going to be shifting for the summer. In the next week, we have a powerful service next Sunday. You cannot afford to miss it. It's life lessons that you will never want to have heard about secondhand. So next Sunday is going to be an incredibly wonderful service. And then on Father's Day, we have an incredible time. Men, you can't miss it. Bring friends that you know that are just drifting. Bring them. It's going to be a word for them. And we have gifts, too, on top of that, that the women won't get. Just think about it. How many times did you get yours taken away, but this time they can't because it's for fathers? So look forward to Father's Day. And so we're going to be just having a great time. But in this last part of Matthew chapter 13, I want to entitle this message, Churn Out the Priceless Things in Life. Churn out. Churn. We're going to talk about what churn means. And you could put your own word in there, turn, but churn is the right word. Churn out the priceless things in life. Churn. Churn in the noun means the process or rate of change involving loss and addition. That's why we use that word. That's why I'm using that word. I felt that in my spirit was the right word. It's churn is the process of change involving loss and addition together. Churn as a verb means to agitate violently, to beat, to whip, to whisk something into order to make it something better. Now, if you want to understand churn, the younger generation cannot get it, so I'm going to have to break it down a little bit more. Where does the word churn naturally come from? See, young folks, it's a real word. They knew. Butter. Now, the reason you don't know how butter is made is everything is done electronically. But in the good days, they used to have to, show me, everybody. They had to churn the butter until it went from its liquid form to its buttery form. That's churn. And every time I say churn today, I want you to do a, come on. Now, I want all the young people, because everything, you've got the whisk thing, and you've got the electric thing, and you've got, we have so many gadgets now, you don't know how good it was to do the. So I need you young people to do the action too. This is what churn means. Come on, give it to me. And when it gets thick, what happens? Mature folks, show me what happens when it gets thick. You got to put elbow grease into it. You didn't have to go to the gym. You just had to make butter. Let me get into Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 to 58. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. And then it continues on. And I'm just going to wrap this up. I'm not going to preach this part. I'm preaching from verse 45 and 46. But let me just finish the passage just in context. Verse 53, when Jesus had finished telling these stories and illustrations, he left the part of the country. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, "Where does he get this wisdom and power to do miracles?" Then they scoffed, "He's just the carpenter's son. We know Mary, his mother and brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. All his sisters lived right here among us. Where did he learn all these things? And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family. And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. This Tuesday night is our miracle service, and we're coming together. We're going to be praying 7 o'clock to 8:15. We're going to be praying for miracles. Everyone that comes in, we're praying for miracles for you this Tuesday at 7 p.m. And every Tuesday for June, we'll be in-house. Then on July, August, we expect to be outside having our drive-in prayer service. But I share that part to let you know that even though people may say that, oh, what can you do? It's not us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit through us. So my message from Matthew today, as Jesus showed us that the man sold everything to go after the pearl. What is the meaning of this passage? And I begin with a question. Are you a priceless pearl? Are you one sought after with a price in your spirit, a price tag in your heart that makes you invaluable? Have you made yourself invaluable even in the kingdom of God? Because it's very easy to do. See, when you know who you are in Christ and God, and remember this ties in to my message of 2 weeks ago where I shared on blanked right out of my head. 2 weeks ago, just go back, you'll find it. How could I forget? It just went. Anybody ever had that? I'm about to say it, and it just went. Psst. But I just want you to know, all of you nodding your head, I'm not as old as you. Pearls. Pearls are representative of a person or thing of rarity and worth. Pearls represent, it's not just the actual, but it also represents rarity and worth. That's what pearls represent. Now, pearls are intriguing, so would you just look at this for a minute? They're going to show you a quick video.
Of all the gems and jewels in the world, there's only one that's perfect at the moment it's found. No cutting or polishing needed.
Rather large one. A jewelry designer will have a great time with that one.
A round, lustrous pearl. This top quality specimen should sell for about $5,000. A choker of pearls like this costs as much as a house. For centuries, these shimmering beauties were the rarest, most precious of all jewels. Prized more than sapphires, rubies, emeralds, even diamonds.
Are you a priceless pearl? I'm going to talk about pearls today. And I'm sure many of you ladies, I said, wear your pearls. If you remembered, you did. Pearls are amazing. They're a hard mass formed within the shell of an oyster, which becomes a prized gem. And there are many types of pearls. Freshwater pearls are rare, cultured pearls grown in lakes, rivers, and wells, as well as ponds. And most freshwater pearls are white, but they also produce a variety of pastel shades, including pink, lilac, and peach. So I have this one, which is one of my pink pearls, and when I put it on here, you'll see the difference. It's not the white pearl. So you know that this is one of those that came out with its own luster. Then there's saltwater pearls that have a more brilliant shine and luster than freshwater pearls. And they're a bit more expensive, like this one that I'm wearing here, which I can boast of it because I got it as a gift. It's someone gave it to me from one of my spiritual mothers and it's passed on. And so I treasure it. Now, how do you know when they are really a treasure? It's from those olden days when they used to pull the pearl out and just properly string them, and then they'd put a little gadget on the back of it so you could never put it on. In fact, this one I had to put on here because whoever put it on will have to take it off. How many know what I'm talking about? It's those little... And so they did that so you didn't wear it every day because then you would know that it is really priceless. And then you've got the different types. Then you've got black pearls, which I don't have any. I'm not that rich. Black pearls are very rare. They grow for at least 2 years before they're ready for harvesting. And the reason this is important is when I describe what happens to make a pearl and then go back and think, no wonder black pearls are rare. It's 2 years of laboring night and day 24/7 to come out of the oyster. And then there's fake or imitation pearls and man-made beads, and we all have some of those. I've got it here too. Here's my nice little fake one. You know, they stick it on a little silver thing so it blings. Or there's the one I wear on my arm. How do you know when it's fake? It's when you can move the elastic. But folks, pearls are important in the sense of it symbolizes something, and that's why Jesus tells this story. Now, I want to just share this here because I'll forget in the end of my message, but pearls can be melted down, and pearls are melted down primarily by vinegar because pearls are made of calcium carbonate, but vinegar has acid in it, and so they can be melted down by vinegar. Any young person, go do that with your parents' pearl, you'll be meeting Jesus. And you go, let me see if this works. You'll be having an express pass to Jesus. I can tell you that right now. But the one thing I want to share at this point is, don't let anything dissolve you quickly. Don't let anything dissolve you. There are a lot of Christians, little thing comes in their life and they melt down. They dissolve like acid touching pearl. That's not what your life is about. So I want to keep asking the question, what type of pearl are you? Because you see, pearls are born out of suffering. Just as how a baby comes through a womb of suffering. However, when that mother has finally pushed that baby out, does she remember the suffering? She doesn't. She just sees the beauty and the glory, and she puts everything into mothering. I remember a friend of mine, she had asked me, she was a single mom when I was, and she asked me to go in the birthing room with her, and I said, I do everything but look at blood. I said, my sister's a nurse, I'm a pastor, two different people, okay? Blood is not my thing. And so so I didn't go in with her, and she was telling me the story. She said she was in so much pain, and the doctor said, would you like a mirror so you could see the baby coming out? And she said, yes, bring it. And he brought the mirror, she said, and I tried to crack it over his head. The reason she told me is because she had me go buy a gift to bring to the doctor. Why? Because the pain was so intense. How many moms know what I'm talking about? There was no reasonable thought at that moment. But afterwards, all I could tell you is she has the most beautiful son. She had the most beautiful son, and now she has a great son and a legacy and grandchildren. You don't remember the pain at that moment, but you see the beauty of what you produced. And that is what life is about. There are irritants that accompany us in life throughout our lifetime due to the fallen nature of humanity. Adam sinned, and now sin reigns among us. We cannot be immune, we can't be absolutely away from sin. Sin is always around us, but we have to learn how to move away from it. Adam sinned, and sin is now left us in an imperfect world, except for Jesus Christ, who comes to change us when we are determined to live our lives to serve him. So in the midst of these irritants, we're being taught how to position ourselves for greatness, how to be more pearl-like. That's why this story is so important from Jesus. How do we become more pearl-like? How do we become more pearl-like? Folks, acknowledging your pearl-like life is accepting true life with hope and purpose, means that it's amidst all situation. We are created to acknowledge that we are given power by God to overcome every situation. How do we get that power? How do we get that power? By the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. So God does not intend for us to accomplish all these things through our own merit, through our own means. We accomplish what we can, what we must, through the power of Christ's Holy Spirit. And God saved us. God heals us. God delivers us. He sent his son to die for us. He says in Revelation 4, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, for you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." We are his pearls. We wear this for pleasure, and we are his pleasure. We are pearl-like. So why has God created you? He created you and predestined you from creation because something unique has been established over your life. He knows what it takes to fulfill it. And he gave us a responsibility to take one step at a time towards the goal of being a pleasure unto God. And there are times that there are times the steps are painful. There are times the steps are struggling. There are times the steps are difficult. There are times the steps are discouraging. There are times the steps are even brutal. But regardless of how the steps are, these unseen steps are taking us into deep waters so that we will grow powerfully in the kingdom of God. And so, folks, understand today, you are to be God's pearls. You are to be God's pearls. And sometimes he puts a little hook on your life that makes it difficult, but it's all right. You're still a pearl. Some are pink. Some are white. It's all about the process you've had to go through. See, the process of the pearl is this. The word pearl, it's derived from the meaning pure. The biblical concept of pure carries the idea of purity with it. A pearl gets its color and its pricelessness from the purity of the pearl when it comes out. And we know that purity leads to holiness, and without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So the pearl is incredibly interesting. Unlike any other gems, and you heard them say it, rubies, diamonds, nothing is as priceless as the pearl. Pearls are produced. How are they produced? They are produced as a result of an injury. That's how a pearl is produced. It's produced as a result of a painful process. There's an injury, there's an irritant inside a living organism, an oyster. It usually begins forming because a grain of sand or an egg from a parasite gets inside the oyster. Hear me now. If an egg from a parasite in the sea or in the water gets inside of an oyster shell, that irritant gets inside, and instead of it the oyster caving and giving in, and sometimes some oysters do, and they wash up on the sea because that irritant will kill them. Are you hearing me this morning? But the oyster that decides that my oyster life has purpose, it begins to do something. It begins to talk to me. So when the sand, a grain, imagine, you got to think about this. Where did God put the oyster to live? In the what? Does the sea have sand? Didn't God know that? Why didn't he put the oyster in a tree? He could have. But we wouldn't know what a pearl is. See, the oyster is in the bottom of the sea. Sand is in the sea. That means absolutely, oyster, you're going to get sand inside of you some point or another. I don't know when it's coming, but it's a coming. And so when that sand gets inside, that oyster, it's just a little, the pearl is a hard object, but it's produced within the soft tissue as a result of an irritant, a tiny grain of sand getting inside of the hard shell, and it disturbs the very soft, delicate tissue inside the cell. There's a lot of Christians, you become too soft and delicate. Somebody. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of soft Christians today. One grain of sand. And it's, I'm not sure I could serve God today. In fact, I'm not even sure I could come to church for a while. I'm taking a little break from Jesus. You've heard it. Online, you take a break from Jesus, he's giving you grace and mercy, because the day he takes a break from you, it's over. So when that irritant gets inside of the shell of the oyster says, I feel you. And it's not only one irritant. You see the sizes of the pearls? The size comes from the multitude of irritants within them. That's what makes it. You saw they showed you the one that would cost like 5,000? Oh, that's an oyster that fought. See, sometimes you're like, why do I have so many problems? Because your pearl's going to be bigger. When it gets in there, you begin to work it out. You begin to move it out. You begin to turn it out. You begin to churn. There's a painful process, but in the midst of it, you're telling the devil, you got some sand inside of me. But I got news for you. I wasn't born to die like this. You're going to take this thing, and I'm going to make it into something great. You touch my family, I'm going to churn till something changes. You touch my husband, I gonna churn till something changes. You touch my wife, you messed up my wife. Men, you hurt my wife. Devil, I'm not gonna fight a person. I gonna churn in the Holy Ghost until something changes. You've been messing up my kids and I don't know what to do. Why do I have so many troubles and trials and other people have less? Because I'm gonna be the biggest pearl you've ever seen. Devil, you don't know what's coming right now. You got to position yourself, because here's the thing, friends. The devil is definitely the unseen irritant in our lives. He's a parasite. He's a scab on God's beautiful creation. But we are protected by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we choose to endure the irritant for a season, after a while, we turn out something so beautiful. We're always looking to the intercessors who can pray. Come and pray for me, so-and-so. Come and pray. Do you know why they can pray? They weren't born a prayer hero. It's because and folks, size does not determine value. Your value is determined by how you churned in the process of your pain. Pearls become beautiful because of the very tiny irritant, and even the smallest pearl. See, it can be a huge, big one, but the color is also determined by the level of the fight. See, it can be a little tiny one, but when they get it so pure, it means they fought for that. Can you get some fight back in your spirit? I'm sick and tired of a wimpy church. The devil has turned up the heat, and the church, some many are melting down like acid on pearl. Somebody talk to me this morning. I don't believe that God created you for you to melt down and everything. I don't like this anymore, so I'm not even going to go to church. I've heard that since COVID so much that I fear for people. And I'm speaking, not everyone online. We've got a great online church, but some of you, I'm sending you a notice today. You've let a lot of sand get inside your little fleshy self, and you are allowing the sand to kill you. One day you'll wash up beach just like the oyster that didn't produce. But I want you to know, an oyster that feels that I've got purpose, it begins to turn that thing inside out until there's nothing left but one huge pearl or a pure white pearl. We do not always see the value that God has before us or in us. But when we just choose to keep going, I'm not going to stop. I feel a little pain. I feel some attack. I feel some abuse. I feel some discouragement. I feel distrust. I feel whatever. But God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. I shall not be failed. Folks, great treasure must be sought after and cared for. You are a great treasure. And Jesus said he sold everything to go and find that pearl. Do you know what he was saying? Saying, do anything it takes. Everything it takes. The kingdom of God should be mighty at this time of such a sacrilegious time in history. We should be turning the services out one after the other. We should be having 7 services a day because people are so desperate for God. But when they look and see Christians, they're like, you're no better than me. You want to drink just like I do. That hit somebody. Jesus valued the pearl. But Jesus values you more. I want you to understand, very simple message today, but what makes the story of the pearl so precious is that the pearl, it represents love. A pearl represents love. Christ knows the value that he has over our lives. He sold everything for us. And he desires that not only we accept him, but that we love who he is in us, and that we treasure what he has done for us, and then we remember we are his treasure. Are you hearing me this morning? Now, folks, God can use even the tiny pearl against the enemy. I don't care what size you are. I don't care how many sand got inside your skin. The pearl must be pushed out. The pearl represents the church. Jesus says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. The world does not know truth. And pearls are a symbol of truth and love. People want truth, but they don't want truth through the power of the Holy Spirit. Philosophy, science, technology, wealth, fame, sensation, sensuality, art, literature, music, and even pseudo-religion, people elevate above the church. Do you see what all others can get away with? Why can't we get away with any of that? Why can't we have any? I asked them you've seen the signs we have now that says Pickering Pentecostal Church. We went after the city for that. And I had Nick go after them till we got it. And then I said, Nick, go back to them, tell them I want one on the highway. You know what they said? Oh, no, 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 no. We can't put that on the highway. It's only for if you have community services, blah, 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 blah. But I'll tell you, you go look on the highway and tell me which other places they have on there. I won't call it out, but I don't need to. So you drive on the highway and tell me why ours can't be on the highway. Because the world is against the kingdom of God. But I want you to know, folks, the process of churning is so that we use the irritants the world has brought to make life better, not bitter. We're not useless. We are useful in the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter what the enemy throws in this day. In this month of June, we're going to see the worst sacrilege we have ever seen. When Easter comes, you hear the media. Let me speak it out loud. When Easter comes, when Christmas comes, they say on the TV, oh, we can't advocate any one religion. But when everybody else wants a month of advertising, they get it on the news for free because they want to tell you, oh, it's because we want equality. I want equality of religion where Jesus Christ's name is lifted on high. So what are we going to do? We're going to keep on churning. We're going to keep on churning, whether it's in our worldly lifestyles, whether it's in the world of sin we live in, or whether it's in our personal life, in our family life, in our work life. When you go to work, they hate you because you are one of Christ. And all you got to do is, I'm making some butter today. Somebody, when you go in your workplace and they're up against you, don't say a word, just go. When you can't do it that way, just sit at your desk and you know the little spinners you got. Remind you, I'm going to make something, a pearl's coming out of this irritant in my life. The church has to be stronger now because we are the backbone of society. The church is the hope of the world, and the world is not the hope of the church. The church is the hope of the world. So they need to see there's pricelessness in us. And how does it come? By the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are to be. The beautiful, priceless gems in a broken world. Just say this to yourself. I am to be the priceless pearl in a broken world. That's who I am. No matter what comes your way, all of you sitting here today, probably about 600, not one of you, don't allow one grain of sand to melt you, to push you down, or to get inside of you and cause you to be rotted. And don't let anybody come around you with their acidic spirit. Don't let anybody around you discern them, shoo them, move away from them. Spend your life doing what you need to do. Oh, I wish I could do a move today, but somebody got to do it for me. Somebody got it. Some mother who knows what I'm talking about, do it for me. Do it for me. Just stand up and do it for me. Some mother who can do it. Now, some of you mothers who know what I do, do it for me. Some of you, your mothers that know what I'm doing, come on, do it for me. I'm not picking anyone. If you know how to do it, you do it. Come on, work it out, work it out, work it out, work it out, work that thing out, work that thing out, devil. Ah, glory to God. Jesus. God, I'm not going to let it get to me. I'm not going to let it destroy. I'm not going to let it destroy another generation. I'm going to make butter today. Devil, I'm going to make you butter today. I'm going to turn you till a pearl comes out of you. Devil, you've been messing up everything, but I'm going to mess you back up. Somebody online, get up and turn butter today. Worship team's gonna sing a song for you. This song says this. Let me read it for you. It's one from the archives. See, you can't turn unless you know who's inside of you helping you turn the wheel. Problem is, you've been trying to turn on your own. You gotta know who's turning the wheel inside of you. Holy Spirit is there. The song says, hover o'er me, Holy Spirit. Bathe my trembling heart and brow. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh, come and fill me now. Second verse says, thou canst fill me, gracious Spirit, though I cannot tell thee how. But I need thee, greatly need thee. Oh, come and fill me now. See, Pentecost Sunday, we think it's over. It's just beginning. It's a reminder that we're now in the spirit of Pentecost. Verse 3, I love it. This is the one you want. I am weakness, full of weakness. At thy sacred feet I bow. Blessed, divine, eternal Spirit, fill me with your power and fill me now. Cleanse and comfort, bless and save me. Bathe, oh, bathe my heart and brow. You are comforting and saving. You are sweetly filling now. Let me tell you why this song is important. The words, we can't change it because it has to remain in its written form unless someone reframes it and gets all the rights to do that. Hover o'er me, Holy Spirit, means remain on me. Even when I'm in one place, hang over me, God. See, when you're churning, you need to be talking to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need this thing out of my life. I need this irritant out of my life. I need this thing. Oh, you got to hover over me. Remain right over where I am now. Bathe my trembling. Bathe means immerse me. Oh God, dip me back in that water so that I could feel the coolness as I turn. You know why the oyster does the shell? Why God put the oyster in the sea? When that oyster's turning, it needs the water to be flowing in and out of its body to cool it down from the churn. Oh, Holy Spirit, cool me down as I go through this, because I'm going to keep on turning. You know what? If you have an old machine and you're turning, after a while it begins to smoke. The Holy Ghost says, oh, I'm going to bathe you in the Holy Spirit. You're not going to smoke up. You're going to be doing just fine. And then it says, and then your hallowed presence, what? Your Holy Spirit will come over me. It says, thy hallowed presence, the holy presence of God will hang over us. And let Holy Spirit help you to rise to a new level. As I was writing the message, Holy Spirit dropped in my heart. The people are not churning because they're not filled. See, you're going to have to, when you have to turn it out, you have to sing the song, and you got to beg the Holy Spirit. You got to remind yourself, Holy Spirit's there to help me. I can do it. Oh, God, fill me now. Fill me now. Jesus, fill me now. Fill me now. Fill me. Fill me, God. Fill me. That cry has to be daily, because we're trying to do it on our own, because internet has taught us you can Google everything. Technology has taught us you can try anything. The age of enlightenment told us we can tell ourselves everything. But I want you to know, if you're going to make it to do a pearl out of your life, Holy Spirit has to be embraced. Fill me, Jesus.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.